Blessed Savior, Master, Lord, God Almighty, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for today. Dear Lord, we could just gather together in whatever way we can, Father, wherever we are. And in sincerity, Lord, as we gather in fellowship, let our hearts to Lord reach up to you, true worship, Father. And here we are, Father, coming here before you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Father, Lord, that the words that goes out will edify your people, will give them a reminder, Lord, of your great love for each and every one of us, your amazing grace, and how, dear Lord, you have led us on these many years, that you have brought us to yourself, Father, into your bosom. And the Lord, in our ups and downs, you have been gracious to us and you have been such a wonderful comforter, Lord, to our life. And we thank you now, Father, even as you approach your word. Just bless us, Lord, with our ears to hear and our heart to receive now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, then. Let us go to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, and I was still on this subject on the life of the faith. As I said, I have preached this back in 1986. There's so much thing that came out back then after, you know, I had separated myself from Branhamism and all the confusion. And come back to the word of the Lord, just like the message was given for, to bring us back to the word of the Lord. And put aside all traditional, you know, teaching that I have had when I was in the Assemblies of God, and all that which I've learned that was in the back of my head, I had to flush it out. And just like Paul had learned too when he came to the Lord. And he considered all his education as junk. And everything that it was there that he had learned in the Phariseeism. And all that teaching that he had learned, you know, that had caused him to come against the Word of God. But it was manifest in his days. But thank the Lord, God is always gracious. And as he said, he will always be gracious to whom that he will be gracious. And I believe that every one of us can say that he has been gracious to each and every one of us, right? Amen. He has been gracious to us. Amen. And so with that grace, that, as you know, the Bible said, by grace are we saved through faith. And it is not of yourself. It's not something that you can churn out. But it is a gift of God that's given to us. So by grace are we saved through faith, through the revelation he gave to us. And you know, when we have this, then we realize what it is to come to that knowledge of the one true God, the creator of heavens and the earth, and to know that we are his creation, we are his creature, we are the very image that he had made us in, to have that relationship with him. You know, and so I find myself so blessed because coming in the early days of my childhood, you know, and before I was even 12 years old, I you know, the Lord called me and that stoked in my heart and pulled me to Him. And I realized, wow, it is something really, something, it's quite an experience, I would say. It is really some experience that I have had at that time, you know. That suddenly changed my life and made me no longer the person that I once was. And even though I backslided for 2 years after, going to secondary school after 2 years, and I backslid for about 2 years, and the Lord called me back. And the thing is, Brother Balchi said earlier on, the things of the world is so, you know, it draws you like a candlelight that draws the moth to its death. So likewise, the world out there is such a temptation today. But if God has always has His plan for every one of us. Today we are what we call, I live in an age that we call the baby boomer after the war. And then my son's generation is called the Generation X. And then you have the, after that is the Y, or the, then now is the millennium. Now it's the millennials. You know, and it's kind of funny how that people arrive that this is the this generation is the millennials, and then after that it's no more.
No.
What else?
Dion.
Z. Oh, okay, that's the Z. So that's the end of it. Okay, that's the Omega. That's the end of it. So what, there'll be another generation? I wonder. All right. So let's go Ephesians, and I want to go slow and just pick on the things that I want to touch on. All right. So let us go to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bless us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. There is no other book in the Bible that I know that emphasizes or that gives us a revelation of the plan and the will of God's purpose in the life of His people. Ephesians is such a book. It is all about the beauty of God in Christ in the church, and everything that is centered around Christ in the church and the relationship. In the book of Romans is an important book in that Romans talks about the secret salvation of God, you know, in Christ Jesus. He's talking about that grace that is given to mankind. But Ephesians is such a beautiful book. And here, Paul, being the founder of this church, and he actually, he spent most of his time, I would say, in Ephesus and with the people there and the believers there, that he reveals so much of this revelation mystery open up to him. He shared with the people. And I want you to know how that he bring this thing out in such depth and beauty. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in Christ. So just like if you go back to Genesis, why God When God spoke to Abraham and he said to him, I'm your share, I'm your exceeding great reward. Right. So, I'm exceeding great reward. I'm all that who I am that is to you. Everything. And so, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He gave himself to Abraham. And that's the way that we are. When I was read Ephesians, it brings me back to Abraham. You understand? Because he is the father of faith. He is the starting of bringing in this great of God's plan of bringing the great redemption and show the purpose and the plan to his people. And when we look at Ephesians, I can see Paul here having that revelation about what was shown to Abraham. That's why in the book of Hebrew he can say that Abraham went out in search of a city. You know. And he said that Abraham went out in search of a city. I mean, you don't read in Genesis. But here is Paul was telling us that. Then we're looking at something spiritual. And that's the revelation that Paul had. And what is shown to us here is in verse 4. I want you to look at it. According as God had purposed and had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. That we should be holy. That we should be holy. You must understand that. Remember this. Remember what we read last Sunday in the book of Revelation? What the Spirit of the Lord said, that those be holy men, be holy still. Those that was filthy, let him be filthy still, right? Because without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and fornicators and idolaters, liars. Now, I mean, I'm talking about liar of the faith. And we are living in the hour when Revelation is unfolding itself more and more. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, I can't remember now anyway. You know, President Trump spoke about how that the Catholic Church and, you know, have helped him and great relationship with him and the nation, helping the nation, so on and so forth. So he mentioned a lot about the Catholic Church. And I told the sister about in America, I said, exactly. You have the two beasts in the book of Revelation. Right? The first and second beast, and they are so closely tied together. The Antichrist spirit and the spirit of the false prophet. The first beast and the second beast. They are tied together. And what are all these things that is unfolding before us? And what I'm seeing the last, you know, couple of weeks, and even with President Trump having being infected with COVID, there are those that wish him to die, there are those that wish him to disappear, to go away, there are those who want him to continue in the, you know, continue in the, what they call it, in the White House. So there's a lot of confusion. And come November, we all would know that there's going to be a big lot of trouble in America. Already here we have the two horn beasts. Do not agree. And that's why I'm so glad that I live in this island of Singapore. We don't believe that in politics you mix religion with politics. And you will always have a problem. Just look at India. Look at any country that you mix politics with religion, you have a problem. And we have this Two hobbies. We always know, Republican and Democratic. And then one is on the conservative, one is the liberal. And they are locking horns now. And yet this whole nation itself is mixing up politics with religion as well. But in anywhere, whatever they do, nothing's going to work. Because the Bible tells us that this beast will be destroyed. His power will be taken away from him. And so come November, I think there's going to be a lot of unrest, civil unrest in many cities in America. And then there will be a lot of anarchy. You know, back in many years ago, I think back in the 80s or 90s when I wrote the book of Revelation, and I think in one point already I mentioned about there will be anarchy in the world. You see, there will be a lot of this problem. And we're already seeing in many countries, even out there in Indonesia. So what time are we living in, brother and sister, that we can still think that, oh, it's, you know, we just live our life as a Christian without really the life of the faith. I'm talking about the difference between, you talk about, I live my life as a Christian. I'm not talking about you live your life, I'm talking about the life of the faith that you have. Because, you know, you talk about, yeah, I'm a Christian, I live as a Christian. Yeah, okay, you're good. Do you really live the life of a Christian? You're manifesting that faith, that life in the faith that you have, or of the faith that you have. Look at what Paul said. Now, the people, the believer in Ephesus, you know, they are so blessed when Paul brought all this thing up, and then they saw, you know, the revelation of it, the love and the grace and the plan and the purpose of God in his people. Look at this verse here. According as God hath chosen us in him. Now, you are chosen. God chose you in him. Before the foundation of the world. Before the world was laid, before the formation was, then God had already chosen you in him. I mean, this is not talking about the sinner in the world, it's talking about you and me. This letter, this Ephesian book, this epistle is not written to the sinner. And I, for young matter, I want you to know that the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is not written for the sinner. All these 66 books, they are written for you and me. It is God's love letter. Amen. It's telling us what happened to us. And yet God keep on falling in love with, you know, God's love is always reaching out to you, giving to, you know, all the way down to history, calling his people back to himself.
Amen.
So, watch the next. The foundation of the word that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The word before him. In another translation, the word before him means in his immediate presence. Huh? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his immediate presence. Immediate presence. That means ever in his presence, we shall always be holy, without blame, and with the relationship of love that he has for us and we have for him. And if we sing the song, I keep falling in love with him. I mean, truly, you said that we keep falling in love with him, we should really fall in love with him over and over and over again. Alright, verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. This is a doctrine that I think that you have already known, I have taught you. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, the adoption will take place. And we will not call it the manifestation of the sons of God. When Christ comes, he will manifest the sons of God to the world. But even now, our lives will have that manifestation that we are God's children. Though, of course, the world may not recognize you and see you, but if you manifest it, they say, oh, okay, you're a Christian, that's the life you live, that's wonderful. They can look at you and we can, in our life, we give God the glory and the praise. You see. We don't have to wait until the manifestation of the sons of God in the millennium. So that it will be to the praise, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved, that which is Christ. I hope that you come to understand that. Remember last week we end up to say that faith is that. What is faith? Now we know, as I said, we're talking about the life of faith. We're talking about the one faith. It's not all about the different faith. Because when Jesus said, when I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? You know, often when I talk to other Christians and discuss with them, and just, you know, especially when they are from denomination, and I ask them, what did Jesus mean when he said that? You know, when I, the Son of Man, return, will I find faith? What faith was it? What faith is Christ talking about? What faith is he looking for? The faith is not looking for the Baptist faith, the Catholic faith, the Methodist faith, or all these 33,000 or more different sect divisions and cult, whatever, that take the name of Jesus Christ or the Bible as their authority and are called by different names. Exactly right. As was prophesied in the Old Testament, that seven women would take hold of one man and said, that, well, you know, I will buy your name. Just to take your name. But we'll do what we want. We eat what we want. We dress how we would like to dress. But just ask, take your name. And people take the name of Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But they dress the way they dress. They eat what they want. They eat. How true that is. But we're talking about the faith. Now I'm going to say it again. I should not talk about have faith in God. I'm talking about the faith of God. The revelation of God. The revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. Which you read in the book of Revelation. That which Christ gave it to the church. To the Apostle John. You see. The life of the one faith. So we're talking about. So when we talk about faith. Faith is that you act accordingly. To what you are shown. And we see over in the book of Hebrew 11, where we see here some of the examples of faith that Paul talks about. You know, as we already find many times, the faith is, it's a revelation. You know, I actually like that expression, like the definition, which is very simple to understand. Faith is a revelation. When Brother Abraham said that, I said, well, that really defined what faith is. That actually makes a whole lot of sense. Easier to understand. You know, people say, have faith in God. Even though you don't know it, just have faith in God. Only believe. If you don't understand this doctrine, only believe. No, that is not faith. Faith, because faith is a revelation. And as we read in here, chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There must be an evidence. And the evidence is the Word of God. And when the evidence is there, and just remind me of just like court case. When a person is being charged with a murder, when you have the prosecutor and the defender, lawyer, defending lawyers, one will prosecute him to try to prove that he is guilty, that he committed the murder, premeditated murder, intent to kill, and so on and so whatever. And the other defending lawyer is trying to prove that he was not premeditated, whatever. Okay. So there are evidence. They have to show the evidence. So that when the judges or the jury, when they look at this evidence, they say, okay, that's the revelation. It's revealed. This is what happened. This is what happened. So when we look into the Bible, it's not something like, some foolish pranamaya saying, even though you don't know, even though you don't understand, you don't see it, just believe. I know they quote Brother Branham, but probably just trying to make a point. There are many things that we don't understand, we can just believe it. Yes, I already told you last Sunday. But there are certain things that you need to have a revelation. You need to have a revelation of why Jesus is your Savior. Why you are a sinner, that you are a sinner. There are people who say, I'm not sin. I've not done anything evil. Prove to me that I'm a sinner. I want you to know I give to charity. I want you to know that I give to this charitable organization, for the blind, for the deaf, for this, for that. I give that every month. I help the poor. You see. So, there are people that don't believe that they are sinners. To them, because they think the sinner is somebody that did some very bad thing. If you tell them you have lied. So, you mean the lying is a sin? Who have I sinned against? I lie, yes. And, they give all their reason. And how is it that one man down the cross can save me? And who is this man? He's a Jew. And you call him Jesus Christ, and he is the Savior of the world. And to him, he said, the whole thing is it's a lie. And I talked to, I witnessed to many of these people. They just cannot grasp it. They say, no. And even my half brother say, all religion, and which one is true? Because I don't know which one is true. Everybody claims to be true. I don't know which one is true, so I just be alone. I don't have to believe anyone. So if I was invited to go to somebody's home because somebody died and want me to go and pay respect, yeah, I'll bow down to him on that, in front of the altar. You see. And to him, of course, the Christian faith is the Western religion. Buddhism is the Eastern religion. So we are in the East, so we only believe Buddhism or any of this Eastern religion, not those in the West. Some people are like that. So it takes a revelation. If you have no revelation, how can you believe? I want you to sing into your heart that you cannot just come to church and say you're a Christian and you got baptized. Hey, I want you to know this. There are many people, they are very emotional. I know because back in the time when I was in the denomination, the crusades, I was there as a counselor. We have it out there in a big auditorium. Thousands of people. When altar call, people come forward. Now we go pray for them, counsel them. And I said this before, like Billy Graham said, they can be out there for 6 days in the crusade. And 6,000 people come forward to receive Christ into the altar, as he said. When he come back 6 months, will he find six of these people? There are a lot of people that move, go, because just like, the cowboy, gathering the cattle and the cows and out there, you know, how they brought them into our, or just like a shepherd with the dog. Try to, you know, what we call that? Huh? The shepherd corral, you know, you sort of, what is the term for that? No, herd, yeah, herding the sheep. You know, they're going to into the pen, in the sheepfold. You see, and people just go. And you can see the people out there. You come, when it comes to food, everybody says, oh, this is good. Everybody, you know, see, there's a long queue of people. Or you have the great Singapore sales, or the what Black Friday, or whatever day, you know, some special sale. Now you have October 10th. What sale? Anyway, you find that there's all these people just hurt all, just gathered there in large numbers. So, the same thing. People can go to a religious meeting and get emotion, and then hear all that, oh yeah, I'm a sin. They go up there to Christ and give their life to Christ. But you know, they never really did. You see, that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. People can confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, but their heart is so far away from Him. Because there's no real revelation. And like many have left the gospel, many have backslidden away from the truth that they said they believe as a Christian. I always remember that survey. Many, many years ago, I think it was in the early 90s, I believe. Huh? Even all that the survey was asking the Christian, they said, why are you Christian? I'm a Christian because I believe this is true. But what happened after 20 years? Will you still be in the faith? Say, I don't know, but 20 years from now, you know, you can't tell. I might turn circular. You see? I was surprised it was in the survey report. After 20 years in life, yeah, that's why I said this, the same thing with these Branhamites. All these extremist preachers, or this minister who, all these, many of them, I mean, I'm a witness, firsthand. I don't make up story. I said, with people across me and the same table, they challenge me. They think they know all about the message when they know nothing. And what happened to these people today? They left. Now they are, even some of them, fighting against the message. Why? It's because there's no revelation. I want you to know this, the life of your faith is depending on the revelation that you have. You cannot lead the life when you do not know who you are. Huh? Can my son call me father, dad, if he don't know who I am? And he doesn't know who he is. Even a child that is adopted, when you grow up there, you can sense that something is not, you say, my parent definitely is not my true parent. You have read many cases of that. And they went out to search for their real parent. Because there is a deep, the call to the deep. Isn't it true? If there is a deep in your heart, and He's calling you back to the Word, you're calling you back to the Father, there must be the relationship. Then you can say, I keep falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. You know, we're talking about the life of the faith. All these many years in His ministry, see people come, people go, over a little thing, over some relationship between a brother and a sister, over some little problem. I just wonder how on earth, why is the agape that you cannot even overlook a little fool? And the song says, if you take a look at me and you don't like what you see, just remember one thing, God is not true with me yet. If I see the thing that you are doing and I don't like what I see, I must remember that God is not true with you yet. Yeah. And then when you know I said that, now you know I said that. And don't say, oh, but God knows about it now. Anybody who finds fault with me, remember, God is not true with me yet. And you continue to do all that bad habit. And continue to do all your lead the kind of life and keep on making the same mistake over and over again? Yeah. So you look at chapter 11 of Hebrew. You look at some of this revelation that Paul mentioned about this various one. Look at verse 3, for example, now. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his guilt, and by it, he being dead yet speaketh. Now, Paul here is saying something deeper for us to understand regarding Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, that tells us one thing here, the Cain sacrifice was excellent. People don't realize that. Why was it excellent? Because there was half of it was right, was true. It was a revelation that God wanted the best. Right? I mean, sometimes we give to God half-heartedly. God wanted the best when you give. Like the widow who, you know, went to the temple and gave the 2 mites. Even though just only 2 compared to the many denarius that the religious leader is giving into the box and making a whole lot of noise, click, 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 putting down, you know. I remember back then when I was in the denomination when the offering bag was passed. You know, I mean, I don't have much, but so when I took the money, I make sure I don't drop it because, you know, tuk, you want some. Like a 50 cent coin or something. So I just put it all the way down and just leave it. You know, there are others who go on, they put it down, you know. Those who have notes, they put it down and they roster it. So the same thing with this widow, with whom I just put it down. And Jesus said, she gave all. I mean, she's really in need of that 2 mites. But yet she gave them all to the Lord. So, Cain had a revelation that God wants the best. But he did not have that revelation that it's the blood that is required. The best of the herds, and it's blood that is required. But whatever the reason Cain had for not, you know, exchange or barter trade with Abel for one of his sheep and God fed the ground. I don't know, maybe first of all his prayer. I did all this gardening. See? My farm, look at all the product, they are the best. Maybe that's what he thinks. We don't know. There's always reason why people do that. But the Bible says, Abel had this excellent, more excellent sacrifice. And it says that he obtained witness that he was righteous. That's what we are. That is one thing. When we do what is right before the Lord, there is always something that will God will impute upon us, you know, to prove that our worth. That he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so even though he passed away and gone, yet his offering speak volume. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Even the widow with 2 mites, to this that we remember. You see, the thing that something that's recorded here of these saints of God, it speaks volume. Okay. By faith, Enoch was translated that he would not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And that's Paul is bringing all this out. Upon revelation about how do we offer our gift. And then he talks about, you know, why he was translated. And I said this many times. I wonder many in the early years, of all those firstborn, what was only Enoch taken? What was Enoch taken? What about the rest? Did they not walk with God? Then I realized one thing, that Enoch's walk with God are from deeper, higher, we would say, in his relationship with God than the others. And it reminded me also to think about the 12 disciples that Jesus took only 3 and went up the Mount Transfiguration, right? And they saw the kingdom of God come with power. What did the rest don't have that? But they were all his chosen. You remember one thing? They were his chosen disciples. You see, there is always, that's why the Holy City in New Jerusalem is in the shape of a pyramid. You see, the level of our faith is how we walk. How close do you want to be with God? You know, I have heard some people, well, just like I told you last Sunday about the brother that I've been trying to talk to. He said, we are Goshen, but again, you are the Berean. And I'm just, sometimes, when I think about it, I wonder. And again, that is to say, okay, he wanted to be at the base of the pyramid. He don't want to be the top. And that is to say that you just, well, be satisfied with being a Christian and not walking too close to the Lord or reaching a higher height. And the Bible has been telling us in many places, the upward way, we press on to the mark of the high calling, we keep on moving, as Paul said, from glory to glory, we don't stop. Many people say, I have enough already. I know the Bible. I know what happened in Genesis. I know what happened to Adam, what brought the fall. I know what God called Abraham. He got 12 sons. I also know the Israel problem. I know that Jesus Christ came and died for me. I know that he's coming back. So we don't need to know so much. Oh yeah. Yes. That's like my friend, the one that I'm going to see tomorrow, don't mention the name here. He told me back then those days were so harsh. And he said, no, Richard, you have gone into so many false teachings, so many errors. Why? Do you know why? He told me at the end of this letter. It's because you always are looking for revelation. You're not satisfied with what you know. Hey, brother and sister, I'm not satisfied with what I know. I know this more. This is a treasure book. This is a treasure map that you can look, go hunting and, you know. I mean, when we were young, even the kids today, primary school or secondary school, they still like to read, you know, mystery books, you know, hunting treasure kind. You know, when I was young, I read Enid Bretton's book, and you know, and The Famous Five, and Secret Seven, whatever. You know, you like to read all those because it's adventurous, you know. And that's why people make movie. What about this, the Lost Ark? What is that Lost Ark? The Indiana Jones stuff thing. People are, you know, they write story. And then people write about Star Trek and Star Wars, and then the zombie and all that thing coming up. You know, people write it because, you know, people enjoy wanting to find out. Everybody come to the Bible. Okay. If you don't like it, it's your business. Huh? But the Bible, Jesus said, I want you to remember this, brother and sister. Jesus said, search the scripture, for you then you find eternal life. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. It's all about me, as Jesus said. Right? I want to know more about. But a song was written, I whoever the songwriter was, more about Jesus, would I know? More about His saving grace, and to others show. You know the song? More about Jesus. More about Jesus. Well, maybe some people say, I already know the Bible well enough. Hey, you may know the Bible well enough. But there was this song, Tell Me His Name Again. A preacher went to a foreign land and he preached about the Lord Jesus, and here was this young lady. Heard the name Jesus about salvation. When the preacher left, she went up to the preacher. Asked the preacher, Tell me his name again. Tell me his name again. Yeah, I remember, as I said this, when I was young, my mom talked to us about Jesus. You know, that name, Jesus Christ, and about His dying on the cross, it just go around in my spirit. So that's why I decided to go to a church nearby, just to go and learn something. Jesus, there's something about that name. Right? And so this book will never be exhausted. One of these days, when everything is over, this book will no longer be needed. There will be no museum in heaven where you can refer to history. There will be no museum in heaven regarding what happened on the earth 6,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, 500 years ago, what Hitler did, what the Pharaoh did. There will be no history. All things were wiped away. Everything is made new. Huh? Do you understand? And when you have it, you say, oh, I wish I can have the Bible and read it again. There's no Bible to read it. So now is the time when you understand on this earth, in the flesh, you still have this Bible to be a blessing, to guide you and read about it and what is coming in the future. Because once the future comes in, this book is all over. Alright, the reason why God took Enoch, it is because here Paul plainly said this. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow, what a life of the faith that he had. I mean, every firstborn, they know about this faith and know about what happened to God in the garden and what happened to the mixing of the two lions. And Enoch saw the whole thing. But his life was close to the Lord. And just like Brother Jackson made this comment, which I think is a good illustration. You know, walk out there in the field like what Jesus would do in the wilderness, even like John the Baptist or the prophet used to spend time up there in the wilderness. Or he go up to the farm and go up somewhere there to do his chores. But he was every so often close to the Lord, like King David was when he looked after his sheep or his father's sheep. And then one, I believe that, reminded his wife and his children. Says one day, when I'm out there in the field, and I don't come back when the sun sets, I don't come back for dinner. He probably told them, don't bother to look for my body, because I won't be around. He might have this revelation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Wow. He had this testimony that he pleased God. That one of these days he would not be around. Now Christians say, yep, the rapture is coming, we're all going to get up. Let me ask you, Do you have this testimony that you please God? Are you a part of the bride? Wife, make ready. Wife, make ready. Not that I'm the bride, I'm a member of the bride. That's good to be a member, but the question is, are you make ready? Because right now, it's the marriage. This is a time when we eat the word of God. We have the feasting with our love, with our beloved. And my beloved is mine, I'm his. And his banner over me is love. See, you know, this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, of course. Without revelation, how do we please him? We can just simply believe, believe, believe. That's why a lot of people in this end time message are just simply believing this, believing that. You know, out there, I can't remember what nation is that, Benin or I can't remember the name, what nation he came from. You can see him on the internet, and I've already shown you some of the picture of him a couple of months or last year or 2 years back. I can't remember now. His name is Philip Kako. Philip. Oh, he is French. They speak French. Philippe Kako. And he called himself, wow, the messenger. And he said that people who don't believe in him doesn't have eternal life. And who is the angel? Who is the angel that John in the book of Revelation in chapter 19 he bowed down to, remember? And he just said, no. Worship Christ. I'm your brother and the prophet, right? Remember? That's him. That's Philip. My, a lot of people follow him. They believe in him, they praise him. He got many followers in the world. Just like the one in Malawi who call himself Elohim out there in South America, St. William San Diego, the 10th vision, he's the one now. Oh my. No wonder the Bible warned us already before him. Even in the days of the apostles, false prophets and false Christ are already there. Do you understand? There are many false prophets, but there are false Christ. But Philip called himself, you know, a savior. Not only just a messenger. But he said, if you don't believe what he said, you don't have salvation. Well, you can search for him on Facebook. He has his own channel. And many channel people are putting many channels about him. They praise him. They glorify him. Wow. You see, so what is revelation? As I said, the revelation has verse already said so. Evidence of things not seen, there must be evidence. The evidence is not, oh, do you see what I do? I raise the dead. Yesterday I raised 10 dead from the mortuary. They had died 4 or 5 days ago and just now I raised them up. That is evidence? That's no evidence. Huh? People think that miracles is the evidence. Just because you perform miracles. That's what the Presbyterian was saying. There's no more apostles and prophets in the church anymore. They're all gone, finished. And why did they say that? It's because why? The Bible said John was the last prophet. Amen. That's it. Right? Apostles. Apostles no more. They're only 12. They're all gone. And if you claim to be an apostle, then you have to prove to me. Because the Bible said, you must be one who witnessed the living Christ. Did the Bible say that? Or did you just take it out from what Paul said? Because he said he too, he was sin of, Christ was sin of him. He was the last one who saw Christ. So they took that as he is the last one to see Christ. Nobody else will see Christ. Really? How do you interpret the word? Huh? But see Christ resurrected and be with him all day. So, and then another qualification for an apostle, you must do miracles. The question is, how many miracles will a person do? Perform. Before he is an apostle. The Bible said an apostle must have this. Huh? And what is a pastor? Oh, you must be to be a pastor, you must go to a seminary and spend 4 years how to be a good shepherd. And they will take you out to the field and train you like you must know how to lead the sheep. What kind of that's the reason why I said this. Like my friend said about interpretation of sacred scripture. That's why I wrote the book, Interpreting the Sacred Scripture. If anything makes sense, seek, look for no other sense. What is it? Everything makes sense? And unless otherwise, what makes sense? Oh, the Bible said, Jesus said, baptize them in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That makes sense. But the Bible says, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, so what's the name? I said, what about Jesus? I said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Oh, that's makes sense, right? Eat him, drink his blood. No. There is something else in the context that you should read talking about the temple of his body. Yeah, within the context, because it's there. But when there is not there, when Jesus has said to the disciple and to those around, said, destroy this temple in 3 days and raise it up. The disciples don't even understand what he's talking about, right? So how do you know that he was referring to his body? Because it's in the Bible, now we know. But you were there, I told the brother. I said, when you were there, and Jesus said that, you will call him a crazy man. Like some of the Jews said, how can it be? You know how many years this temple has been building, and you want to destroy and you can raise him in 3 days? It must be a nutcase. You see, that's the problem about being, well, Abraham used the word intellectual. He was trying to emphasize something. It means people are looking for using their education. Using their qualification, their degree. I'm a PhD or something like that. Huh? We all know this. To be an engineer, you have to learn engineering, right? You go to school, you're going to learn to be a doctor, you're going to learn. But do you know that there are engineers, there are doctors, there are many, many of these professionals who never been to university? Because it is given in them that they know what to do. Huh? Now think about it. Only that modern day technology, yeah, of course you've got to go to be a surgeon, you can how to use those machines, but if you're out there in rural area, you know how to treat a person, but you don't have the machine, of course, you've got to know how the machine operates. It's just like a phone. If you never know how the phone does, you have to learn how to use it. Yep. What did you go to Bible school, Brother Gann? Are you qualified? Did God really call you? That's what my friend asked me. Did God really call you? I wonder if you know. After all these years, in the past, 10, 20 years past, all the evidence and vindication are there. Did God call you? All right. Okay, let us go on. Verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a reward them that diligently seek him. Remember, we need to diligently seek God. We need to continue to look more of him. By faith, Noah, being one of God, of things is not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his soul. Not that he moved with fear, and fear has being afraid. Fear means a reverence. Yeah, God said so. You know, he's going to punish this world, going to drown the whole earth with water. The reverent God. And you know, sometimes when if you were Noah in those days, and when God says, prepare now because I'm going to destroy this, how do you feel? You know that there are all your relatives out there, huh? Do you know that Noah has brothers and sisters? Uncle, auntie, nephew, and nieces. Yeah. Friends, neighbors. How do you think he feel? You know? So he moved reverence and awe. And you know the thing that troubled him is, okay, since God says so, I will have to do it. I know that he's going to do it. So he built an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Yeah, that's the one thing about it. When God says, move, you go. You know, when God leads you, you people ask a question, oh, where are we going, Lord? Well, some people ask the question, where are we going, Lord? And you know, the disciple that followed up to Jesus, Rabbi, where dwelleth thou? Come and see. You just follow. You don't explain to anything this block 402. Bukit Batok. You know, and house number this. No, he's not going to give you direction. You just follow him. He's the direction. Do you know, you agree? That Jesus Christ is the direction. He is the one that you follow. You don't have to ask him where we're going. Let me know where you're going. Lord, then I'll follow. Then that's what you're asking about. The song we sing, where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, we go. We follow. Amen. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heir of with him of the same promise, dwelling in tabernacles, huh? And that's one thing about that. You see, when God built that tabernacle and asked Moses to build that tabernacle, it was a tabernacle. It has no permanent structure, you know. It's just a tabernacle. It means to say, when the people move and God move, the tabernacle is fought up and move. So you see, when God came out to this earth, it was temporary. Remember Jesus came? He walks on the earth. He was a tabernacle of God. He has no dwelling place on this earth. And just what tabernacle of Moses is all about. So Abraham and his children, Isaac and Jacob, they don't have a permanent dwelling. And so there is no, you know, continuing city. It's just a moving place, a house that moves. And even right now, every one of us do not have a permanent dwelling place. We are a moving house. Are we not? We are all the tabernacle of God, and we are moving. God is still building into the tabernacle, into a city. And when it's a city, then it has foundation. For right now, we are in a strange country. This world is not our home, we're just merely passing through. So we build our tent, and then we move on. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, build their tent, and they move on. Around the whole land of Canaan, which is the land that God gave to them. And all Canaan land, this is it. the Word of God. Our permanent dwelling place is in the Word of God. But when here we are in this, as the Bible said, while we are on this earth, we are just moving. Right? First, again, let me read. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, going to a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. We have a place where we receive as an inheritance. This is the place, the Word of God. The promised land, the promised word. We obeyed. And we went out, not knowing where we went. You see? We are walking over the Word of God. We learn a little here, we follow here a little as being revealed to us. But we have a place reserved for us. Verse 10, for we look for a city, a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So this one is not my home, but we have the continuous city. A city that has foundation. Here we're just moving around now. This way is not our home, just passing through. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Ah, that's true. A dead body, as good as dead, no life. The life is gone out of her, she's finished, no more seed. So is that, so was Abraham. But they believe. And out from their womb came from spring forth many stars of the skies in multitude, and that of the seashore, the same, innumerable. And all these, as Paul said, all these die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and was persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Yeah, we're still strangers and pilgrims. They have not received the promise because they are looking for it. But here we have received the promise, look back to it. That's why the Bible said, they without us are not made perfect. So we must have patience. In the Old Testament, that was the gates. In the New Testament, we have the foundation. They were looking for the promise. And we have the promise. Looking back to Calvary Tree. A brother in Lebanon wrote me, texted me, said, "Brother Dan, what kind of tree did Jesus die upon?" Some said it was the red wood, some said it was the olive tree. He said, "What do you think?" I says, "What do I think?" He said, "Don't you know what the scriptures say?" More or less. I just texted him and said, "The tree that Jesus Christ died upon is called Calvary Tree. Simple. Calvary Tree. Just as the road we walk on, what road is it called? Calvary Road. Am I not right?" You see? "For them that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire for the country that is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his own begotten son." And I, you know one thing, I, God showed me the revelation, how is it possible that Abraham, you know, was so willing to sacrifice Isaac. When God already told him, "I'll give you a son, and from this son, I'll bring forth many, many nations." Now, I was thinking, oh, God promised Abraham. And if I Abraham, then God promised a son, and from this one son will bring forth many multitude of people, nations of the world. And now God coming to sacrifice him. Now you know, that's kind of strange. If I were to sacrifice Isaac and Isaac, that way is my seed. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where is my seed? Where will be the nations of people that will come forth from my son Isaac? That's why when I was meditating, there's one revelation hits me. Abraham already had that revelation when God promised him that. He realized even if he were to sacrifice Isaac, God will have to raise him up. It will not be another son. It will not be another seed. But only this one that he promised. Do you understand? The seed from Sarah. How many children did Abraham have by Sarah? How many? How many? Come on. Just one. Isaac. Ishmael was by the born woman. How many sons? How many? Well, you know, when we talk about son, we talk about the one that gets the inheritance, right? Okay, for example, now we have, Brother Jimmy has two sons. If we are living in the old time, the inheritance goes to the older one, Jimmy. So Jonah gets nothing. Some to the Jimmy to give you some. Right? You see? So now, if Jimmy passed away, where did the inheritance go? Of course, the father will give it to the second son. But right now, here we have the type and the shadows. That's why I love them, but the type and the shadow mystery is hidden in it. Abraham had only one son. One only son. Thy son. God said, thy son, thy only son. How many sons? How many sons does God have? How many? One. His only son. Remember what John 3:16 said, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The only one seed by which all other seeds come forth. By Isaac many other seeds come forth. By Jesus come many other seeds come forth. And here we have Abraham. I give you Isaac, and you'll be the father of many nations. And Abraham said, yeah, amen! Or amen! Not amen anyway. And then, what's what happened? He helped Isaac grow up. He's probably about 20 years old. Not a little kid. Huh? He's a 20 years old man. You're not sacrificing a child. Yeah, he's, he's a big man. Now, take him up and sacrifice him to me. Wow, one day Abraham just heard the voice of telling him that. What do you think he, how did he react? Well, there's two ways maybe he reacted. First of all, what do you mean? Wait a minute. What are you saying? You said he'd give me a son that I would have become the father of many. Now you want me to kill him? Sacrifice him for you? Now I don't believe he reacted like that as he was a shock. A surprise. You know, when God said to him, sacrifice him, he think for a moment. And so one time when God speak, however God speak to you, whether it's an audible voice or in your heart or through a message, think before you react. In the past, many years ago, I got a stress out. I got a lot of headache. Because I hear all the voices coming back to me. A brother again is speaking of me. Brother again is speaking about the other brother. And see, the message is not for me. Oh, brother again is attacking me with this message. Yeah. Think about it. Huh? So if whatever the message, however, you may be out there in the mall, and it's a stranger suddenly says something to you because there was some problem and rebuked you. What happened? You suddenly, all your defense comes up and start to have an altercation with him. Yeah. I can tell anything one thing about him. He think for a moment. He must come to the realization that God don't break his own word. He don't break his promise. Remember? He said by Isaac means by Isaac. And if I were to sacrifice him, God would have to raise him from the dead. That's why he went. Very quiet, because he didn't tell Isaac. Take a servant with him and Isaac. And after Mount Moriah, told the servant, you stay here while we went out to do a sacrifice. The wood, the firewood was upon the back of Isaac. Remember, it wasn't Abraham that carried the firewood. It wasn't the one that carried the what we call the cross, the burden. Isaiah was the one to carry the burden. I like that. He was the one to carry the burden. The Father says, carry that. You pack it on the burden and carry it up to the mountain, to the hill. Think about Calvary. Think about Moriah. Think about Golgotha there. Same place. Carry that. When you're up there, Isaac said, Father, why is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? Oh my! Abraham's heart, you know, feel the pain. You know, you have to tell the son, you are it. You are the sacrifice, my son. Oh, just think about the relationship now between God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the relationship. God the Father had to sacrifice Jesus Christ. Remember. So in all this that we know here, up to here. Remember this one thing. Like what we read so far. Promises can only be received in a trial. When you offer up your sacrifice. Because it's a trial of our faith. It is not just, I mean, we talk about the love of our faith. In our life, there's always the trial. Abraham was tried. The trial of our faith, you know, is very much to us. Abraham was tried. So was Isaac. So do you understand that Isaac was 20 years old around then? Look at his dad. Do you think he said to his dad, are you kidding? From what I understand the Bible, Isaac, when the father said, you are the sacrifice, he understood. Why? If I were to ask you this question and write a thesis on it, do you know how to write it? What is sacrifice? Dad? Father, what is the sacrifice? My son, you ate. So for a moment, think of what goes through the mind of Isaac. What goes through his mind in a moment? Let me tell you what I understand. When God gave Isaac to Abraham, do you know that Isaac was a pearl of great price to Abraham? That Isaac was the joy of his life. Every day Abraham would have carried out Isaac. Look at him face to face as he grew up. Look at him. Impart the knowledge, impart what God has revealed to him, to Isaac. About the plan and purpose of God, why God called him out of the wood of Kadesh to walk throughout the land of Canaan and said, this is the land I give you. Wherever your footstep landed, it's yours. From young all the way up, they live in tent, they moved from place to place. And that relationship of father and son, you tell me, is there no revelation in Isaac? That he would say to his father, so be it. And lay down his arm, hand behind, and let his father tie him. And he lay himself down upon the pile of woods, and waiting for his father to plunge the knife through his throat. He was willing to lay down his life for the promise of God. Oh, think about it. You talk about faith, we talk about the life. Don't talk to me, don't tell me about faith, tell me about the life of the faith. Look at Abraham, look at all those that we mentioned here. There's no greater revelation regarding the relationship between father and son, God and Jesus Christ, if you only can look at Abraham and Isaac and look at the life of the faith that they have. This is what Paul wants us to know. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because you don't follow God blindly. Oh yeah, I'm following God blindly because the song says, where He leads me, I'll follow. Let me say, you do not know why He's leading you by the vision that He has shown you in His Word. I pray that you understand. Amen? In our spirit. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you have, Paul, wrote in thy word, Lord. That is handed down all this generation to us. And surely, Lord, we are blessed with the revelation you have given him for us. To even to understand this in this hour of time. Let our life of the faith that we have received from you, Lord, be like Abraham, Isaac, Enoch, Sarah, Noah. We pray, Father, to guide us. Guide us, Lord, as you guide those sins of old. We praise your wonderful name. Bless now, Father, the Holy Word in Jesus' name.